Well, good morning. Welcome to the Orchard. My name is Brian Collier, and I'm one of the pastors here. And we are so excited that you have carved out some time to be with us on this beautiful weekend. We're going to be in John chapter 15. Begin reading with verse 1. John 15, we're going to read 1 through 8 there. If you have a mobile device or Bible, you may want to go there. If you did not bring either of those with you, or if you'd like to use the Bible this morning, if you'll raise your hand. We've got some folks who are moving around during this time who will bring you a Bible to use. Just raise your hand there. The page number on the screen matches the page number in that Bible. If you do not own a Bible that you can read and understand, we would love for this Bible to be our gift to you, and we want to encourage you to take it with you at the end of the day if you need it, because we want you to learn to read the Bible not just on Sundays when you're with us, but every day of the week, because we know that the Bible contains the words of life. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word of truth, and we pray now that as we gather around it, that you would sow it deeply into our lives, and that it would spring up there and bear fruit, that it would change the way that we feel, and it would change the way that we think, that it might change the way that we live, that we might be your people in the world. Not because we say we are, but because it's evident by the way we live and the way we live our lives together. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do any of you have a Captain Obvious friend? That person who has the uncanny ability to take up space, saying what is very clear to everybody, but they just have to say it. When our son Houston was about 2 or 3 years old, he had the habit, if we ever walked into a room at night, or even if we'd walk outside at night, he would announce, it's dark in here. And I thought, well, I wanted to look at my three-year-old and go, well, thank you, Captain Obvious, but he was three, so I'll let it slide. It's not as easy to let it slide with other people in our lives who are saying things you're like, you didn't really have to say that. I have a friend who this past week pointed out that my favorite collegiate football team, he was making a comment about them, and he said, if we can't stop the other team from scoring more points than we do this fall, we won't win a game. I mean, we won't win but about 3 or 4 games. And I said, no, we won't win any games if we don't stop the other team from scoring more points than we do. I was in Best Buy this past Tuesday afternoon when the torrent happened. It was just a momentary thunderstorm that dumped a lot of rain. And it was raining so hard you couldn't hear. Talking to a person who was nearby. And so I decided with greater wisdom, I was just going to stay in Best Buy and shop a little longer than I intended to. And these couple comes running in from outside and they go, whoo, it's raining hard out there. I'm like, really? Man, I missed that. It's also the reason I don't take my wife to play golf with me, because she go, you hit it in the wrong direction. Captain Obvious, thank you very much. Well, if you don't have that friend, I'm going to be that friend today, because we're starting a new sermon series called Everyday Disciple. It's our fall launch series for the next 5 weeks. We're going to be talking about what it means to be an everyday disciple, and I get to lay the very obvious baseline, and here's something you may not consider about everyday discipleship. To be an everyday disciple, you have to focus on what it means to be a disciple every day. You may want to write that down. I'm not sure you're going to remember that. To be an everyday disciple, you have to focus on what it means to be a disciple every day. And I'll be a little more specific. The primary requirement of being an everyday disciple of Jesus is spending time with Jesus every day. Now, you would think that would be obvious to us. You would think it would be obvious to those first disciples. But I don't know if it was not obvious or if Jesus was just not taking any chances with these 12. When we open our text today, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples, and he's trying to prepare them for a time in which he will no longer be with them in body. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to reappear to them after the resurrection, but Jesus is going to be shortly going back to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And so he's trying to prepare the disciples in the upper so everything we read happens in the upper room. If you have your Bible still open, if you kind of look back a chapter, all of chapter 14 is in red. If you look forward a chapter, all of 16 and 17 are in red. This is the longest discourse, uninterrupted discourse of Jesus in the Gospels. He's got a lot to say to these disciples that he's about to leave the mission with. When he leaves the upper room with the disciples, he's going to be betrayed and arrested, and he's trying to prepare the disciples. And if you look at what he says to them, he tells them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's a new thing for them, the coming of the Holy Spirit. He tells them about how it's going to be difficult, how they're not, the message is not going to be well received. He tells them, he prays this amazing prayer for unity over them, and he tells them they're going to continue what he began. And so he's trying to get all of this poured out into the disciples before he leaves them in bodily form. And I don't know whether they didn't clue into that any earlier, because you would think, if I'm going to continue what Jesus has asked me to do, if I'm going to continue what Jesus has been doing, then essential would be staying connected to Jesus, but maybe not so obvious for those first disciples. So Jesus chooses a word that kind of anchors it for them and clarifies the importance of this connection. Here's the word, remain. Now, sometimes that word is translated abide, but if you have your Bible open and you want to circle the number of times that it happens just in 8 verses, the word remain or abide happens 7 times in 8 verses. And I don't know if your mama taught you this or not, but when somebody repeats something, you should pay attention. Jesus says it 7 times in 8 verses. Remain, 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 remain. Abide, abide, abide. Now that word in the original Greek language is translated several different ways. It's translated abide 61 times, remain 16 times, dwell 15 times, continue 11 times, tarry 9 times, and endure 3 times. And I'm pointing that out because that does give some depth to what Jesus is meaning. If we happen to miss what it means to remain, if we happen to miss what it means to abide, all of the ways that that word is translated gives us some depth and some richness of what Jesus means. But here's ultimately what he means. He's inviting them into an ongoing, intimate relationship out of which everything Jesus wants to do in them and everything Jesus wants to do through them is possible. Let me say that again. Jesus is inviting them into an ongoing, intimate relationship out of which everything he wants to do in them and everything he wants to do through them is possible. Jesus wants to make sure that they don't begin to treat the relationship with him as kind of a drive-by or kind of a, hey, let's grab coffee one day this week kind of a meeting. Jesus invites them into an ongoing, intimate relationship with them. And to make sure they don't miss this, if you go back and look at your Bible, he says, remain in me. And the first time he says remain in me, he adds a warning. Remain in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he adds the warning because of the very thing I've just been talking about. The temptation of a disciple in every age is to kind of get what we need from the source and then go out and do the work. And I'll give us a little bit of grace because that's the way the rest of our lives are. Think about it this way. You spend 12 years in basic education, and then you're expected to take another step. Maybe that step's work. Maybe that step's college or trade school. Let's assume it's college or trade school for a moment. Okay, you've graduated from this 12 years. Now you're going to take 1, 2, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, however many you want to stretch it out. But when you finish that, you're finished with that. You don't go back to college, you go to work. If you go to work and you discover, hey, there's some skill that I don't have, there's a need, there's a gap in knowledge, there's a gap in skill I need, you might go to a conference, you might go to a seminar, you might do a continuing education event, but eventually you're going back to work. All of our lives are organized to focus on getting prepared for a season, but then to get on with the work. And if we're not careful, it's very easy to treat our relationship with Jesus that way, where we focus on a season of being prepared, but then we get on with the work, and we forget that the work will not happen. That what Jesus wants to happen cannot happen outside of an ongoing, intimate relationship out of which everything Jesus wants to do in us and everything Jesus wants to do through us is possible. Jesus starts the discussion, starts his instruction with the disciples with remain in me, and he says, if you don't, you can do nothing. There's a warning. But to set up the sharpness of the contrast, Jesus then says the very same thing, remain in me, for if you do, and my words remain in you, then you will produce much fruit. You will produce much fruit. This is Jesus trying to teach the disciples, this is what you're supposed to be about. There are going to be lots of things clamoring for your attention. There are going to be lots of things you ought to be doing. Here's the business I'm leaving you to be in. Now, again, I want to show you how cloudy this can be for them and for us. I'm going to just say a business name. I want you to tell me what business they're in, okay? Starbucks, what business? That was terrible. You all need more coffee this morning, evidently. So let's try that again. Starbucks, what business are they in? Toyota, what business are they in? Rolex, what business are they in? Charmin, what business are they in? The church, what business are we in? Yeah. Jesus says, here's the business of the church. Here's the business of the body. Here's what I'm leaving you to be about, fruit. Now, again, that's kind of a general word, but if you look at that word in the New Testament, it occurs about 43 different times across the New Testament. But if you look at those 43 times, it starts to kind of group up into three groupings. The first one is what I call people. John chapter 4, verse 36, Jesus says, the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. So fruit first looks like this, people who are introduced to Jesus. The second grouping is progress. That means we are growing up to be like Jesus by cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, when the Holy Spirit has control of your life, it produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is, Jesus was fully all of those things. It is producing the likeness of Jesus and the life of Jesus in us by inviting us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit is growing us up. So we introduce people to Jesus. We help them cooperate with the Holy Spirit as we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit to grow up to be like Jesus. And here's the third group, so we can go out in the world to act like Jesus, live like Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he says, good fruit does not grow on bad trees. Bad fruit does not grow on good trees. You can tell what kind of tree it is by the kind of fruit that you see. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. So when Jesus says, this is the business, this is what I'm giving you to do, this is what I want you to focus on, this is the mission you're going to continue, when he says, you're going to work on fruit, it's people who are introduced to Jesus, people who grew up to be like Jesus, people who are sent out in the world to act like Jesus, live like Jesus, so they can introduce people to Jesus. See how the circle starts all over again? This is what Jesus invites us to do. But notice before Jesus ever gets to the do part, he invites us to be. Remain, abide. We're going to produce fruit, but only if we remain or abide, because the key to a fruitful outer life is a fruitful inner life. If you don't write anything else down today, maybe that's the thing you want to write down. The key to a fruitful outer life, for things happening through us that Jesus wants to happen through us, means that we got to be in this direct connection, not this occasional stop by, not this continuing education event, but this ongoing intimate relationship with Jesus out of which he does everything he wants to do in us and everything he wants to do through us. Now, admittedly, in our world, there are lots of distractions. In the disciples' world, there were lots of distractions. One of those distractions is just basically what I call the follow. Sometimes we get so consumed with the steps we're supposed to be taking that we take our eyes off the one we're supposed to be following. We get so consumed with the Bible study we're a part of, or the group we're a part of, or the podcast we're listening to, or the Bible reading plan that we're on, that we forget that those things are supposed to lead us to Jesus. Those are not ends of themselves. Here's a Captain Obvious moment again. In our following of Jesus, the focus should not be on our following. It should be on Jesus. Shocking, right? Our spiritual disciplines are not a report card that we're doing an A-plus job in those, so Jesus is pleased with us. If our disciplines are not moving us closer to Jesus, then we need to change something about the disciplines we're practicing. I had a friend this week who confessed to me that he's trying to read through the Bible in a year with that one-year Bible, which I love. I really do. I think it's a great and a good way to read through the Bible in a year if that's what you want to do. But my friend said to me, he said, but it's so overwhelming to me. He said, if I miss a day, I got to read like 6 chapters to catch up. And he said, you know me, I'm liable to miss 2 days, so I've got to spend hours reading it, and I'm just speed reading. I'm not getting anything through it. He said, what should I do? I said, stop. And I think it shocked him a little bit because I don't think it ever occurred to him that a preacher would say, stop reading the Bible. Not exactly what I said, but I said, stop reading it like that. Because if our disciplines are not moving us closer to Jesus, if it's not deepening our intimacy with Jesus, then we got to change something about what we're doing, because they're not a report card. They're meant to increase our intimacy with Jesus, that ongoing intimate relationship, so that he can do what he wants to do in us, so he wants to do what he wants to do through us. The other distraction that I find maybe the most prevalent distraction in our world is our sense of pace, how fast we live our lives. I mean, I would like to say life, but really it is about pace, because we all have life, and we're not always in control of our lives, but we should be more in control of our pace than we are. Most of us want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus out of a relationship here's the way I describe it, Mach 3 with my hair on fire. My most important earthly relationship is my wife, Wendy. I would choose her over everybody else all the time. We've been married for 35 years. Can you imagine the depth of the intimacy of our relationship if our basic interaction is texting about our schedules once a week and then grabbing lunch for an hour one time a week? None of us would think that we would have any shot at building any intimacy in a relationship that was described in that way, that was characterized by those habits. And yet somehow we've convinced ourselves that 1 hour gathering with Jesus once a week is the way to intimacy with Jesus. And because of that, we ache. We know there's something missing. There's this longing, but it doesn't occur to us to wake up and to create more space in our lives out of which we can cultivate an intimacy with Jesus. Can you ever have imagined a time in which we would say to the creator of all that is, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the Alpha and the Omega, to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, let me see if I can fit you in. Sometimes just the pace of life is the thing that keeps us from abiding. It's the thing that makes us treat Jesus like a friend instead of the center of our lives and the source of all that we are. The other thing that sometimes I run into, and sometimes we don't have that much control over this, is suffering. Struggle, suffering, sometimes we describe it as suffering because it actually is. Sometimes we just are trying to find our way in the dark. We're just grappling, just trying to figure out how the pieces fit together, or why some piece that we thought would be there is no longer there, or some why piece we really wish wasn't there is now there. My personal experience tells me that suffering usually pushes us to one of two extremes. One extreme is, why would Jesus let this happen to me? The other extreme is, I would never have a chance at making it through if it weren't for Jesus. And in my experience, there's not much middle ground there. We're on one of the extremes. Why would Jesus let this happen to me? Or I can never make it through without Jesus. And struggle tends to push us toward one of those extremes. And often, we find ourselves leaning out when we should be leaning in. And brothers and sisters, if Satan has any chance of encouraging you to lean out, he'll take a shot. And he often does it through suffering and struggle. And yet, in the middle of all these distractions, Jesus says, abide, remain in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Every one of the disciples, all 12 of them, were either all 11 of them were martyred. John was exiled. All of them endured that suffering, endured death, endured that isolation because of the power of the resurrected Jesus. But I believe not just because of the power of the resurrected Jesus, but because of the depth of the intimacy they had with Jesus. Jesus encourages us to abide. He calls us to abide. So how do we know if we're abiding? Verse 8, by this you will bring great glory to my Father, that you bear much fruit. Just one word. You want to know if what the measurement is? How do you know if you're abiding? The word is simple. It's fruit. Is anybody, by the way you live your life, by what Jesus is doing in you and what Jesus is doing through you, is anybody coming to know Jesus, at least taking steps toward Jesus? Or when they interact with you, are they taking steps away from Jesus? By how they interact with you, are they taking steps toward Jesus? Are they coming to know Jesus? Are they growing up to be like Jesus? Are you praying, encouraging, helping in them grow up to be like Jesus by cooperating with the Holy Spirit? And are you encouraging them to act like Jesus in the world? Is any of that happening through you? Because that's the sign that we are connected to the vine. We are the branch. He is the vine. And if we are connected to the vine, fruit happens. We don't have to force it. We don't have to manipulate it. We don't have to manufacture it. We just got to stay connected to the vine. And out of that, fruitfulness happens. And not just is that evident to us, it becomes evident to those in our world. It should maybe bother us that Jesus has said, hey, if you don't know what it looks like to be a follower of mine, look at my followers. I don't know about you, that's a little intimidating sometimes. But the evidence for a life with Jesus that the world is looking for has to be shown in the lives of those who are following Jesus. Another Captain Obvious moment, right? How do we know if we're abiding? Fruit. Are there people who are coming to Jesus? Are they growing up to be like Jesus? Are they going out in the world to act like Jesus? And this doesn't happen just because we put our hand to the plow. It doesn't happen just because we do. It happens because a fruitful outer life is anchored in a fruitful inner life. So how do we do that? How do we abide? Come back next week. Because next week we're going to talk about what it means to be an intentional follower. And in fact, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about the characteristics of a disciple. An everyday disciple is an intentional follower, a loving friend, a joyful sower, and a kingdom multiplier. And those may be new words to you. They're kind of new to our community of faith. We're introducing them to the whole family this morning. We're going to be fleshing those out over the next 5 weeks and actually over the next number of years, because we've always said we want to be about growing deep in the love of Jesus. We brought some clarity to what it means to grow deep. We want you to be an intentional follower, and we want you to be a loving friend. We also want to branch out to others with that love. What does branching out mean? It means we want to be a joyful sower and a kingdom multiplier. But brothers and sisters, we can't be any of those things if we don't first say yes to an ongoing, intimate relationship with Jesus, out of which he can do what he wants to do in us, so he can do what he wants to do through us. And so the invitation this morning is simply this. Maybe you need to do a little rearranging. Maybe there's some housekeeping you need to do, that some things in your life that have pushed Jesus to the margin when he should be rightfully in the center of your life. And you need to do that work of going, that's got to go, this got to go, that's got to move, we got to. Maybe when I said here are some of our distractions, Maybe it's the pace of your life. Maybe it's some suffering and some struggle right now. Maybe it's that you're so focused on the follow that you miss the one that you're supposed to be following. Maybe this morning your prayer needs to be, Lord, would you help me by the power of your Holy Spirit move through the distraction to Jesus? Move through the distraction to Jesus. Maybe the struggle for you is that you're not living a fruitful life. In fact, maybe you don't want to live a fruitful life. You've never said, hey, I want to live a fruitful life. Today's your first step. Maybe you need to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you need to say yes to Jesus for the next time so that he can do what he wants to do in you and wants to do through you for his glory and your good. Let's pray together. Lord, I know it seems so obvious that a follower of yours, a disciple of yours, would make room every day in their life for some deeply intimate time with you, out of which you reshape our thinking and you reshape our hearts and you reshape our actions and you send us out on mission with you, not for you, with you, so that the whole world may know the fullness of the life that is offered to us by your suffering, death, and resurrection. That ought to be just super obvious to us. But Lord, sometimes we get so busy in the rhythms of our lives that we miss the obvious. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit right where we are. And Lord, if something needs to be rearranged, you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, rearrange it. If we need to surrender this morning to a mission, a work of your Holy Spirit that wants to create a fruitful life for us and a fruitful life for others through us, then Lord, press that we might surrender. Lord, would you give us by your Holy Spirit the strength this morning to push through the distractions? Would your Holy Spirit point out that distraction and then give us the power to push through that distraction to Jesus, through the distraction to Jesus, through the distraction to Jesus? Lord, what we want more than anything else this morning is you. Not the stuff, not the life. All of that falls into place when what we want more than anything else is you. May it be so, Lord Jesus. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.